Welcome to the Automation World Get Your Questions Answered podcast. I'm David Greenfield, Editor-in-Chief at Automation World, and in this episode, I'll be looking at the basic safety device types used in industrial automation across the discrete and batch manufacturing industries, as well as sharing some industry expert advice for choosing the right safety device for your application. So to start, let's look at a few of the most common machine safety devices. The first type we'll look at are machine guards, which are also referred to as hard guarding. These involve placing a physical barrier on or around a machine to prevent workers from coming too close to the machine or potentially touching dangerous parts of it. Then, of course, there are safety light curtains, which create a sensing beam or screen of light across a machine's access points. If a person or object interrupts the beam, it triggers an alert to cease the machine's operations. Now, safety laser scanners are functionally similar to light curtains in that they use infrared laser beams to scan a machine's surrounding area two-dimensionally. The invisible beams act as a protective field so that if a person or object enters the field, the scanner detects the event and generates a change in its signal output to stop equipment operation. Now, safety controllers are a type of standalone safety device that were part of a discussion some years ago among engineers who believe that regular operations control and safety control networks should remain separate. But with the advance of multi-core processing capabilities, more controllers are now available that include both regular machine control and safety control capabilities. Despite this, there's still wide use of safety controllers which are designed to meet specific safety standards to monitor other safety devices and shut off power when needed. Now, two-hand controllers are a type of safety device used to ensure workers' hands are clear of dangerous mechanisms. These devices require personnel to use both hands to initiate and maintain machine functions. They're mostly used on machinery with high-force closing movements, such as hydraulic presses, stamping machines, and cutters. Now, interlock switches prevent machine operation or startup in an unsafe situation, such as when a door or guard is open. These switches can also prevent doors or guards from opening while the machine is in operation. Now, often included in this family of safety devices are trapped key interlock switches, which rely on mechanical locks and keys to control access to gates, guides, or doors on active machines. Enabling devices are used to initiate a particular safety function when a user squeezes or releases a switch in a handle grip, which is typically similar to a joystick. Now, unlike e-stops, which are button switches that allow workers to stop a machine by pushing a button, and which are probably the most well-recognized safety device, enabling devices can be used to activate a variety of safety functions, whereas e-stops initiate only one, such as stopping the machine. And finally, in this list of the most commonly used industrial safety devices, there are indicator lights, which are available in single and multicolor options to provide visible indication of a machine's operating functions as well as its safety status. Now, as I mentioned earlier, this isn't a complete list of industrial safety devices, but rather a listing of a few of the most commonly used devices. Now, as I mentioned earlier, this list is not a complete list of industrial safety devices, but rather a listing of a few of the most commonly used devices. Now, other common safety components include enclosures, circuit breakers, intrinsically safe isolators, relay modules, surge protectors, and safety mats. So, armed with information about the many safety devices available, the next task is to think about your application in depth to help determine which type of safety device or system is your best choice. Now, Robert Mosher, business manager of safety at Rockwell Automation, says one thing batch manufacturers in particular need to take into account is how often changeovers are required and the need to access the machine during those changeovers. He says the more often a particular part of a machine or process needs to be accessed, the more likely that hard guarding will not be the best option, and either safety locks or presence sensing devices may be required. Also, special consideration needs to be made to ensure that the machine can't be inadvertently started while a person is in the machine conducting the changeover. For example, a trapped key interlock switch can be configured to ensure that a predetermined sequence of events takes place or that hazards have been reduced before an operator becomes exposed to them. Now, noting that light curtains are often used where frequent access, such as during changeovers, is needed, Mosher notes that it's critical that a light curtain of the appropriate length and resolution be selected and that the light curtain is located at an appropriate distance to ensure that a person who might fall through the light curtain can't reach the hazard before the hazard has time to fully stop. He adds that if a person is on the inside of a light curtain area, care needs to be taken to make sure that the machine can't then be started. In some cases, he says this requires placing a second set of light curtains perpendicular to and between the machine and the first set of light curtains. Travis Holly, Machine Safety Services Manager at System Integrator Polytron, recommends that you make sure that the safety devices you're looking at can withstand environmental factors such as dust, washdown, and extreme temperatures. He says many machines in process manufacturing, for example, have an inherently high rundown time. So the use of non-locking safety switches on guard doors could allow access to those hazards. Guard-locking safety switches can be used instead to keep workers out of the hazard zone until the machine has achieved a safe state. So, when selecting a guard-locking safety switch, it's important to follow industry standards that require the device to be a power-to-unlock type, unless specified otherwise by the machine's risk assessment. Bryant Eismeyer, a senior automation engineer at System Integrator Flexware Innovations, says that in batch processing applications such as chemical mixing, water, wastewater, or food processing, handling of materials that are explosive, caustic, or biologically harmful often requires other safety measures such as specialty fire monitoring systems and gaseous or liquid chemical detectors. Now, these types of technologies are more common in industries typified by process hazards rather than discrete hazards that tend to be more mechanical in nature. And Joshua Vernon, Director of Engineering for the South Atlantic region at System Integrator Automated Control Concepts, stresses that another variable to consider is that stopping all the equipment as part of an emergency stop may not be possible because the process to do so could be lengthy and a full stop could present more danger than continuing operation. He says this reality highlights why a hazard analysis is so important before implementing any specific safety devices. Now, if you're interested in learning more about industrial safety devices and systems, be sure to visit this podcast on the Automation World site. There, just above the transcript, I've included links to several recent articles on these topics. And if you're listening to this podcast via one of the various podcast platforms, you can access those links by visiting this podcast at automationworld.com/safetypodcast. So thanks for checking out this episode of the Automation World Get Your Questions Answered podcast series. And remember to keep watching this space to stay on top of the latest news, trends, and insights on the world of industrial automation.